100. And Psalm 100 is not an unfamiliar psalm to most of you. As a matter of fact, there might be some people who could quote that. Anybody who thinks they could do that tonight, I won't ask you to do it. Could you come close? All right, perhaps. If I'm not asking, you're going to say yes. All right. Yeah. Well, here's what I want to do. Some of you are from a background that's other than Baptist, and you do this in service, but we don't normally do it in a Baptist church, usually an independent Baptist church. But responsive readings. Responsive reading means that somebody reads, and then somebody reads the next part, and then somebody reads. And so I've done this before, and it's never worked very well, so I try it about once a year, and then it's about a year before I do it again. So it's my year's up. We're going to try it again. But we're going to do it this way. Instead of me reading, I'd like for the ladies to begin. Now let's have the men begin, because I have confidence you'll get us started well. And I want you to read the first verse, and then ladies, I want you to read the second verse. But as we're reading it, pay particular attention in Psalm 100 to what the author is getting across. And as this psalm is directed toward us, what is he trying to say to us? And I think, obviously, it'll fit into the theme. All right, so let's do that. Only five verses. And so we'll start with the men. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, obviously, what is the theme of this psalm? What is he trying to tell us? All right, be glad, be joyful. Praise, okay. Be thankful. Yeah, he begins by saying, you know, make a joyful noise to the Lord. All ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. He says in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto Him. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Ron, what were you going to say?
I think if you look at the words here, they're all action words.
Mm-hmm.
You do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's these are not, you know, just not dead words. This is David saying, do something here. Come into His courts with praise. I have mentioned before, you know, we're very clear in our teaching and our pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. And that was a doctrine that was abused, especially in the past, still out there as far as the charismatic movement, where people get caught up in emotion and mistake some of that for the Holy Spirit. And so the pendulum swings back the other way, where we're very careful to not be identified with charismatics. And I'm certainly not charismatic. I just wouldn't make a good charismatic. I'm just too dull. Amen. Good. Amen that I'm dull? Or what are you saying here? But you know, when we look at Psalms and we think of David, David did something when the ark came in that I don't know that I would do because of my personality. Do you know what I'm talking about? Here comes this guy dancing in the street. Now, when we think of dancing, we think of, you know, Dancing with the Stars. I've never watched it. Don't really plan to, but I did hear that Donny Osmond won. How do you know that? Yeah, okay, same way I know it. All right. But we think of dancing in that sense. David was more like cheerleading. We might think of that way. He was leading people in praise, and he's going through the streets and shouting his praises to God and really giving glory to God. And it's the idea of leading people in praise, and they use the term dance, but it probably would be more identified with us with pep rallies, not the right word, but just getting people enthusiastic for the Lord. And when you read Psalm 100, this is the kind of enthusiasm that David had. He said, boy, folks, when we come into his gates, we're going to come with thanksgiving. What's the opposite of thankfulness? All right, I heard the word murmuring. I heard the word complaining. Discontentment, ungrateful. My favorite word, griping. Those are all characteristics of somebody who is unthankful. They're just never content. Do you know people like that? They have nothing but complaints, and they can gripe about something no matter what good is going on. They're always unhappy with something. And you find those people are not very content and happy people. They are always complaining, they're always griping, and they never seem to enjoy much of anything. And David said, we're not going to be like that. When we come into his courts, we're going to come with praise, we're going to come with thankfulness, we're going to bless his name, we're going to worship him. And I think that is an attitude that you and I have to cultivate in our lives. We have to come to the place where we recognize it's our responsibility to come to the Lord and really praise and demonstrate thankfulness to him. And, you know, when somebody sings a song, I think a good hearty amen is a great thing in a church. And I think a good encouragement to somebody when there's truth that you agree with, you know, a good amen ought to be out there, and you ought to demonstrate that you're listening and that you are in agreement with that. And I think sometimes we're subdued. And one of the things I always worry about, they say that the church takes on the personality of the pastor, and you can be too subdued because I'm such an exciting guy. And amen, there we go, I like that, yeah. Bob will be up here agreeing, yeah. But we need to be, you know, enthusiastic for our Lord. And that is something that David was saying. So what I want you to do tonight is we want to praise him. And we want to do it in three categories. We want to do it, first of all, we want to praise him for his majesty and his power. And what we have is a couple of verses that we'll read, and Pastor Shank's going to lead a couple of songs. And then I'm going to take some time for a few testimonies. And that's your involvement in this. You're involved in the singing, and we're singing praise to him and thankfulness to him for what he's done for us. And then praise and adoration just in the sense of what he's done and who he is. And what he has allowed us to do. And then simply the topic of thanksgiving as well. There's some songs in our hymnal that deal with that and some verses that I'd like you to look at. We won't have all that much time, but we'll make our way through these. Let's take a moment and let's sing a couple of songs that have to do with praising God for his majesty and for his power. Pastor Shank?
Song number 51 in your hymnals. 81, sorry. Song number 81. Song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, great old hymn of the faith, reminds us of the character of our God. You may remain seated as we sing through this. Song number 81, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails.
Last verse.
That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill.
turn over a few pages to Psalm number 75. Psalm number 75 speaks of the power of our God. He is the God who can do the impossible. Scripture says that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Psalm number 75, the God of the impossible.
I don't know how God hangs the world on nothing, or how He keeps the planets each in place. I cannot count the sands upon the seashore, nor can I count the stars that float in space. But God can do what seems impossible. God controls eternity. My mind can never comprehend it, but God in heaven cares for me.
On that second verse as the last.
I don't know how the Lord can save a sinner, or how His grace can cleanse and set him free. I can't explain the mystery of Calvary, to think that Jesus died for even me. But God can do what seems impossible. God controls eternity. My mind can never comprehend it, but God in heaven cares for me.
Turn to Psalm number 60, please. Psalm number 60 is the song, How Majestic Is Thy Name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name. Mountains, valleys, all creation tells Thy fame. Heavens declare it, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name. Psalm number 60, we'll sing through just the first and the last verses of this one as well. Psalm number 60, first and last verses.
When I consider the work of Thy hands, the sun, moon, and stars above, what is man that Thou thinkest of him who is so unworthy of Thy love? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name. Tells Thy fame. Heavens declare it, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name.
On that last verse.
Jesus, Creator and Ruler of all, heaven to die for me, came to earth, laid aside heaven's throne in exchange for death on Calvary. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name. Tells Thy fame. Heavens declare it, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name.
Pastor Wright.
You're in Psalm 100, and I should have told you to keep your finger there. Turn back a little bit to Psalm 93. And while we're doing that, could I get someone to look up 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11? Can you do that? Brittany, we'll let you do that. We'll introduce some of our folks that are visiting here at the end of the service, but Psalm 93, we'll have you turn to that. And 1 Chronicles 29, 11, we'll have somebody read that for us. But let's look at Psalm 93. And our theme here is praise for the majesty and power of God. Psalm 93, and that worked fairly well before. So ladies, you're starting this time. And men, you'll read the other verse, five verses again. Let's try it and see how it goes. All right, so ladies, here we go. The Lord reigneth. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting.
The floods have lifted up of the Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves.
The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. I love that part where it says that he has clothed, the Lord is clothed with strength. And that's just a picturesque way of saying that it is just part of him. There is nothing about the Lord that is not strong. There's nothing about our God that is weak or is challengeable. When you meet him, when you stand before him, you will do as others have done and you'll fall at his feet. There won't be any arguing with him. There won't be any giving him a piece of your mind. People who have that concept in mind are completely off, because God is never described like that. Every time somebody meets the Lord, they fall at his feet and they worship him. And that'll happen for us as well. Psalm or 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Brittany? God is exalted as head above all. There is nothing that is greater than he is. Turn over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. We're not going to read this whole thing, but let me point out just a couple of verses. In verse 4, or verse 3, it says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts." You can go on and read about the beauty of his holiness and about who he is. But you know, you and I on this night before we celebrate Thanksgiving, set aside that day, one of the very first things that we have to be thankful for and we can offer praise for is the fact that we have a God whose majesty and power exceeds anything that we can even imagine. Our God is not thwarted by anything. He is not worried by anything that's happening. His 401k is doing fine. He is not bothered at all by the things that are happening on this earth. And he has everything completely in control. And I think of all people that should excel during a time like this, when there are people who are worried, it ought to be us. We'll be affected by the finances and all the other things, but the confidence that we can have that our God is still in control gives us a surety that allows us to sleep and allows us to go on. Let me take a moment here. Perhaps the Lord has done something for you, and it might be in this category of just praising him for his majesty and glory, or perhaps something as you think of Thanksgiving that you're just particularly thankful for and you wanted to give a testimony about tonight. I know Pastor Shank mentioned on Sunday we were going to do this, and so I hope this evening that you'll take the time to give thanks to the Lord and just praise him for who he is. Who wants to start us tonight? Just a testimony about the Lord. All right, Aaron?
I didn't realize,
Amen. Good. All right, great. Someone else? All right, let me get Todd. Yeah, it redeems them a little, yeah. Amen. We may need some of those guys. Good. Let me get one more, and then we'll have more time for testimony a little bit later. Micah, I saw your hand. That'll preach. Good. All right, let's switch gears a little and look at some things as far as praise and adoration. We look at the majesty and power of God, and let's take a second to look at a couple of passages that talk about His power or praise and adoration for Him. Let's go backwards. Let's start at Psalm 67, verse 3. You're at 96. So let's back up to 67. Psalm 67, verse 3 says, "Let all the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. And let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." Selah. And back up a little bit again to Psalm 33. These are primarily instructions from David and the psalmist that were collected there. But Psalm 33, and let's go ahead and read verse 1, and that'll get us to the second verse, is the one that we're particularly looking at. But Psalm 33, verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely," or the New American Standard says it's becoming to the upright. "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, or that's a harp of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." And that idea is there. It's full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Back up to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 11, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." And that's what we want to do continually, is declare among the people His doings. Here's what God has done. Now, a lot of people will see it as luck, or see it as just something that they were fortunate to have. But you know, when the Lord does things, He does them on purpose for us. And sometimes the Lord is gracious to people just because of who He is. But God often ordains things in such a way that He will get the praise and He will get the glory for those things. And so as we look at Scripture, we recognize that He says to us, let's make sure that we praise Him for who He is and what He has done. He wants to be praised, and He's worthy of our praise. Let's take a moment. We have a couple more songs that we want to sing, and some that are specifically along this subject. Maybe two or three songs that we'll sing, and they'll point our minds in that direction. And maybe as we do that tonight, there'll be some other testimonies, and we'll have a chance for those this evening. Pastor Shank?
Psalm number 52 in your hymnal. Psalm number 52, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun." We'll let you stay seated as we sing through this. Psalm number 52.
Ready? "Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the in bright raiment, roll the stone away. Cap the ill in grave clothes, where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Is the victory Thou o'er death hast won."
On that last verse, "No more we doubt Thee."
No more we doubt Thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without Thee, aid us in strife. Make us more than conquerors through Thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to Thy home above. Thine be the glory,
turn over a page, Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50, Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days. Pay attention to the words and the names that are given to our God in this. Speaks much about the character of our God as you understand the names that are given to us here in these verses. Psalm number 50 on that first verse.
Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in wisdom, majestic in glory, perfect in holiness and worthy of praise. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels, be thou exalted with harp and with song, saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee, thine be the glory forever, amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, Savior of sinful men, Redeemer and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory, humbly we come to Thee our homage to bring. Be Thou exalted by seraphs and angels, be Thou exalted with harp and with song, saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee, thine be the glory forever, amen.
Keep it up on that last verse.
Be thou exalted, O Spirit of power, dwelling within our hearts to keep us from sin. God of the ages and Lord of salvation, Lord of heaven and earth, thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels, be thou exalted with harp and with song, saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee, thine be the glory forever, amen.
Turn to Psalm number 14. Psalm number 14 is a song worthy of praise. My heart overflows with praise to the Lord. And I hope that truly is your testimony tonight, that you're able to say, you know, as I look at the things God, as I look at who God is, and then I even consider the wonderful things that God has done for me, my heart is overflowing tonight with the things that I can praise my God for. And if that's not the case, the problem isn't our God, the problem is us and what our focus is on. And let's sing through both verses of this. Psalm number 14, worthy of praise. And think of the opportunity and privilege that we have of singing praise to our God.
My heart overflows with praise to the Lord. I will lift up my voice to the King. He brought me out of the pit of despair and taught my heart to sing. Worthy of all my praise, you are worthy of all my praise. I bow at your throne and I worship you alone.
Go ahead and stand as we sing that second verse. My lips sing His praise. My heart fills His love. His word is a lamp to my way. On that last verse, worthy of praise, Psalm number 14.
My lips sing Your praise. My heart fills His love. His word is a lamp to my way. me closer each day. Worthy of all my praise, you are worthy of all my praise. I bow at your throne and I worship you alone.
You're singing, you may be seated. Pastor Ray?
There were a couple of other people that had a testimony tonight, and I'd like to hear those as well. Who wants to be next and just giving a testimony about something the Lord's done for you or about who He is? Johnny?
It's hard to admit a joke. It's all about thanksgiving and praise. And as I discussed, the verse in the Bible says, through Him all things consist. And as I discussed that with my junior high Bible class, when you explain to them what that entails, you can see their minds just blown away. You hold up a pencil and you say, through Him all things consist. That's the thing. Us, the mountains, the church, our voices, everything that we can touch, see, feel, or hear, consists or exists because of Him. And it's unfathomable for anybody to not believe that. When you see the leaves come out of the trees in the spring, when you see them drop from the fall, nature is God. And through Him, all things consist.
I think that deserves an amen, don't you, Todd? Good. Okay. Very good. Someone else? Lorraine?
It has been brought to my attention like a couple of times in the last couple of weeks about singing. So I just wanted to share something that everyone is probably nobody knows about. I wanted to share this verse. It's from Psalm 104, verse 33. It says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. When I first had surgery, you probably don't know, but I'm totally paralyzed on this side of my face. They told me I would never, ever open my mouth more than the size of my little pinky finger, so I was eating out of straw. So when I can sit up there and I can sing to the Lord, I'm just thanking Him. For every time I could open my mouth and just say, I love you, Lord, not you.
Amen.
It's a miracle.
Amen. Great. Thank you. Good. Someone else? She's just bashful, right?
Yeah.
Ruth?
Amen.
Good. Amen. Good. Very good. We're going to ask you to say some of those verses sometime. Is anybody else doing that? Anybody doing that? All right. A couple other people. Good. All right. Amen. Good. Amen. Good. First John says that God is love. You know, and I think of some of those things that, like Johnny was talking about the verse in Colossians, that by Him all things consist. The whole meaning of that verse, which Johnny was explaining to his class, is that everything stays together because of Him. If God did not keep things together, it would fly apart. And that is an unfathomable thought to us. We take for granted that everything just continues. But if He did not hold it together, I don't know what we'd be. Nothing.
The only thing left would be the triune God.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Heidi?
I'd like to thank God for our pastor. We've been a lot of places. We do have you. We searched and searched and searched for church, and no one taught the truth in the Bible. And I am just so grateful that we have a leader and a pastor who loves the Lord, his family loves the Lord, and who spends the time and effort it takes to teach us. So every time I come to church, I walk out of the person because he's taught me something new, or I've had to deal with something new in my life. And I'm just very grateful to the Lord for a faithful man.
Thank you. Good. Thanks. Well, let's turn to one last song to finish tonight. We have a third topic here that we didn't get to, thankfulness, and so we're going to save that for Sunday night. And we have some verses that are going to go with that, and we'll give you an opportunity Sunday night to give testimony specifically on some things that you're thankful for. And our teenagers won't be in here for that on Sunday night, but we have the adults in here, and we have some more songs that are going to go with that. But I'd like to finish tonight with a song that I think would be the most apropos, the most fitting to go into Thanksgiving tomorrow, number 38 in your hymnal. And I think you'll agree when you see that song. And I'm not sure of all the songs that we know that this one might not make it to heaven with us. And we might be singing that when we get there. Let's go ahead and turn to that. I'm going to have Pastor Shank lead it, and then we'll finish up right after that.
Let's stand, please. Sing the first, third, and last verses.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
And then the last verse.
And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing He bled and died to take away sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Verse says, and last part, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. If we don't understand the greatness of our God now, we will understand it completely when we finally meet Him face to face. On that last verse, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. Great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you for good singing tonight. Please remain standing as Pastor comes.
I hope you'll go into Thanksgiving tomorrow with just a really solid thinking of our God is great, and He is just good to us. And we're often very spoiled, but He's done some wonderful things for us, and I hope we'll see that throughout tomorrow and throughout our days. We have a couple of folks that are visiting with us. Kathy, you have a guest. We've met her before.
My daughter Jocelyn is here to cook a turkey.
Jocelyn is up here to cook a turkey. And my mom and dad are back here, and my niece, Brittany, my brother is a pastor out in St. George, and so she's up here for Thanksgiving with us. And let's see, on this side, I don't think there's anyone else that we don't know. The Wilsons, nice to see them. And over here, Ruth, you have some folks with you. You want to introduce them? Right. Ah, good. Okay.
She went.
She did. Okay, good. And you all are from where?
We live in Richmond.
From Richmond. Very good. Well, nice to have you.
She moved here to begin with.
You are. Good.
And
well,
we moved away, she said.
We appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, we've enjoyed that. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And Micah has a guest as well. Micah? Yeah, so he came up to eat our turkey. Good. And let's see, is anyone else back there? I think that's it. Great. Well, it's good to have you here, and we'll have our regular services this weekend. Enjoy your turkey tomorrow. Thank you. You are dismissed.